This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Listen in to Sci-Fi and Scream with
Dill Stick.
With Dill Adler.
Only on Joy 94.9.
Emergency, break glass, and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
pretty, pretty music, Squeamer.
It's pretty, isn't it? This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy in 94.9, and that was something very beautiful. In fact, it is from something really astounding that we're going to talk about tonight here on the show on Sci-Fi and Squeam. But first, thanks to Kurt and Sammy for another great show, Transpositions. That's a groundbreaking show, that one. It's only been going for a few weeks, and I think it's going to draw, it's drawing a lot of attention. Don't you think, Dylan?
I think it's awesome, and I think it's finally that we have some trans representation in a show purely dedicated to voicing and having visibility for the trans community.
Definitely.
It's amazing.
And we had some Bowie early up, of course, Red Sails from the Lodger CD going back in the 70s there. And then we had Wild's Call from Amilo, which is what we're talking about tonight, amongst other things, some games news and some other things that are happening on the show. And I want to welcome Dylan, of course. Dillstick is back.
Thank you. And we're talking to the creators from Amilo. Mm. You may have seen this on IGN or other games blogs. This looks amazing.
They're here in the studio.
They most certainly are. They're quiet right now. That's right. Radio smoke and mirrors. That's right.
No, but we have Laura returning. Laura Crawford, welcome back to the show, Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Hi, Sonia. It's lovely to be here.
It's good that you've turned up with these wonderful chaps. Now, there's just two of them from the Amilo crew, and we have Trent and Jack.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hello. Hey.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Where are the other ones?
Busy working on the Kickstarter.
They are busy working on the Kickstarter, actually. It's quite the undertaking.
Yeah, it does look fantastic. So it's great to have you on board. We don't actually have developers in the studio very often. We talk about different games and all the different things happening, but we never
have a developer. It's on a long connection where
sometimes
the calls drop out. Sadly.
It's good to have real people in here.
Oh, it's great.
Now, of course, the other thing is it's this weekend. I mean, people probably are aware of this, but it's Free Comic Book Day. That's right, Free Comic Book Day. So get yourself off to your favourite comic book store. Or if you don't know what to do, what does it mean? Well, it's been around since 2002. It seemed like a good idea to give people comic books. So you enter at any comic store anywhere that recognises comics globally, and you get a comic given to you. How's that?
Look, I think it's awesome, like just being able to roll up and say, but I have a question. Do you know if it's any comic, or is it a comic that the shop owner would choose for you?
They want to get rid of? I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it actually is chosen. There's a certain amount of comics, or there's a certain style that they have that they actually are able to give away for free. I don't think you can walk in and go, I'll just have this rare compendium of Warren Ellis's greatest works. I'm pretty sure it doesn't work like
It
that.
Did cross my mind.
Give me all your comments.
Well, you can try and see, maybe take them a piece of yummy cake or something special, some cookies. So, this Saturday is International Free Comic Book Day. And if you want to find out where on earth do I go if you live in Melbourne town, head to our Facebook page for Sci-Fi and Squeam, because I can't read out all of the stores. That's just not going to happen. So head on over there, and I've got a list there of some that you can check out. Now, it is an American idea originally, but it's certainly taking off around Melbourne, and the comics book culture in general is doing exceptionally well. So I thought I'd just talk about that for now.
Video games. That'd be an awesome
video
one, though.
Games.
A free video game day.
That work?
I don't know.
I think they have it on iTunes every day. It's called Free to Play. Yeah. They already got it. They got it. They've had it for years already.
Oh. What do you know about that, Trent?
Free play. Videos. Yeah. While we were working on League of Geeks, I was a creative director at a studio called Divisive Media, which is here in Melbourne. And we developed free to play games. And so, we worked on a game called Vigilante. And that's a whole different kettle of fish working in the free-to-play space than, it was the first free-to-play game that I'd worked on, and I'd shipped 7 titles or something before that. Ooh. And it's definitely different. It's a whole different, it's almost, sometimes I would just think of it almost as a completely different, like working in a different medium. Just the amount of stuff that you have to, perspective you have to take on things.
I just have a question with the free-to-play, because they're generally, when you check out, say, user reviews, and people are really quick to slam certain aspects of it, but I'm like, dude, it's free.
Yeah. Well, that's the I'll tell you what, working in free-to-play games, the most ironic thing is that the quickest to condemn players that I've ever worked with, or created games for, were the people that worked in free to play, like, sorry, the people that played our free to play games, which is ironic, right? Because it's like, dude, we're giving you this game for free, like, you know. But it, no, I think it's because there's a whole lot of trust there. It's right. It's like, here's the game for free, and because there's free to play games, a lot of them, especially, you know, well, recently, they rely on these psychological hooks to get people to play, a lot of them. And so they can be really nasty and quite vampiric in a sense, you know, sucking that money out of your wallet through, like, sort of Skinner box sort of tactics. That's not all free to play games. There are absolutely amazing free to play games out there, and it's the notion of being able to play a game for free is absolutely fantastic, and it's great when done correctly. But there are particular mechanics and things within games that can be quite facetious in that sense.
So say to people, be careful.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Free doesn't mean free.
Yeah, no, free does not mean free. In fact, free to play in video games means the largest moneymaker in the industry.
Dear.
So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Scary.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So
yes,
watch your bill when it does come through. You might be in for a nasty surprise. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9 with the, well, they are League of Geeks all on their own here in the studio, and Laura and Dillstick, and more to come shortly.
This is Benjamin Williams from GamerCon in San Francisco, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. Now, what was that? What is that track? What can we hear in the background there, Dylan?
You should know that track. Everyone should know that track. It is, of course, from Skyrim. And, it is Skyrim. Here I am looking at my sheet panically. It's Ancient Stones from Elder Scrolls versus Skyrim.
I know. And very interesting. I think there are Norwegian people that put it together, and she's a violinist by origin, apparently. But it's interesting what you can find out there.
Yeah, totally.
It's like a fan job.
I don't know why, but in my head I just started reciting all the different races in Skyrim. I was saying before, I started playing it last night just for a little moment, and then 3 hours just vanished. Just vanished from my life.
That's
but
normal.
I did so much in the land of Skyrim. Like, you have no idea, Sonia.
So in 3 hours, you took over a whole country?
I found three stolen books that were stolen from the Mages Guild.
Okay.
I found all these relics under this ancient burial site.
Oh, I see. You're quite busy. Did you remember to do your ironing as well and
look, I think,
feed the cat?
Oh, the cats were fed, but okay. I think my laundry is becoming self-aware.
Skyrim aware.
So right now, we've got some pretty awesome guests still
league
in our studio.
League of Geeks. It's good
league
to have a
geeks.
League of Geeks, or a small portion of the League of Geeks here in the studio at Joy 94.9 and talking about our mellow. And, of course, we better start with who are the League of Geeks. But before I do that, you can probably notice you guys are in the background there, Intrigue Burning.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hear it, yes. Yeah,
some of your music there. And, I mean, I've got to ask, how did you score someone like Lisa Gerrard? That's amazing.
Well,
we'll jump to that.
Yeah,
first.
Jacek can probably answer that one. Like, Jacek has worked with her before.
Yeah, I worked with Lisa for many, many years. So,
cool.
Yes.
We sort of knew that we wanted to collaborate with her at some point.
Yep.
But it was one of those things where we didn't know that it was going to be on our first project, because Jacek and I had actually spoken about it, collaborating with her and getting her on board when the time was right. And it was very much so. And, you know, Jacek was a big proponent of this as well. It's like, when the time is right, let's not just call Lisa and say, hey, do you want to come onto the project and, you know, see if we can collaborate with her on just anything, because, hey, she's Lisa Gerrard and, you know, we have that avenue to see if she would be interested in it. We really wanted to make sure it was a project project that A, you know, she would be a fit for, and that, you know, she'd be able to inject some magic into, but then B, that she would be interested in as well. And I think it was just by pure chance that Mellow, what we ended up doing first, ended up being a fit anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think Michael did amazing work with the composer we had, and we always thought Lisa would fit in there somewhere. Michael did such an amazing work, but it just didn't have that unique something. I mean, it was very unique, but it just didn't have that special unique. She came in like
that voice of Armella, almost.
She just has done Gladiator and Samsara, The Insider, and also The Whale Rider. She did that one too. So great. Yes. Now let's get back to who you are. Who is League of Geeks? Why do you exist?
Well, that's a really Trent, interesting one. There's a very long answer to that, but I guess the short.
You'll have to have the short.
Yeah. The short form answer is that about in 2011, I'd left a studio job. And I was looking for a way to collaborate with amazingly talented people and sort of work on the type of games that I wanted to work on without having to go and join these huge studios and be a little cog in a big wheel, as Yatsek put it at the time. And one of the people that I wanted to collaborate with was Yatsek. And then we had Ty, our art director, and, you know, one of the other directors of League of Geeks. And then just heaps of talented people. And so when you sort of come up with this crazy idea to create a game development collective that used profit share to, you know, sort of compensate everyone fairly and so that everyone had ownership in the games and what we were working on. And that way we could also entice people who were working, who were super talented but worked other studios, because one of the things that really sort of bummed me out about not being able to collaborate with particular people was because they had jobs already. And it's like, well, why can't they just come and work out with us out of hours when they get home, you know, like do
something. Because they have a life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, not when we're done with them. And so we just figured out a way to sort of create this model that enables people to come and work on the project for profit share.
So it's like a cooperative type of
community. A collective. Yeah, collective, certainly. Sorry. There's about we've had over 30 people contribute to Armello, and they've been based everywhere from like Florida to the Bay Area. We had someone in Japan for a little bit, and our guys is in New Zealand, and you know, some of the biggest studios worked on some of the biggest games out there, like the BioShock series. Worked on films like The Hobbit, and we've got international, you know, music legends like Lisa Gerrard. So these are people that are top of their cream, and they're actually coming onto the project and working for profit share because they believe in it.
Also, I mean, we didn't have any money, so that was
I say it like it was a choice, but actually all this came out of necessity.
We wanted to make a really amazing game with no money, and you know, that's really, and we said there's a way of doing this, and this is the way to do it. The way to do it is we give you ownership, so you work on the game, you own part of it forever.
Wow.
So you never lose that part. It's always yours.
Amazing.
I'd like to know more about Armello, because scouring over it, it looks like it's this awesome tabletop card adventure, but with this really strong RPG feel to it, and it's visually beautiful. But when I was trying to do research, I like thinking some really cool, fun questions. There's a lot of things that are quite sealed. And what can you tell us in a nutshell? Is Armello and the story behind it?
Not a problem. Armello is a digital card and board game. Essentially, so you play as a hero from one of the four clans of Armello, and you're out on a quest to save the kingdom from the king, who's dying of this dark and mysterious force called the Rot.
And you can get the Rot as well from battling, from falling from the evil crow.
Yeah, the Banes.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, the huge bird-like creatures or sort of demons that we have on the board. Yeah, so the Rot is like essentially our dark side of the Force, right?
Right.
And so if you, in the game, if you fall to one of these Banes in combat, then you can contract the Rot. Or if you use dark magic in the game, you can contract a bit of the Rot. Or if you equip a cursed item, then you know, you can gain a bit of the Rot. So players are, you know, one of the sort of elements of play is that, you know, players have a chance to embellish a little bit, you know, or sort of explore that dark side of the Force, you know, and play with the Rot a bit.
Cool. And because there's four clans and there's four playable characters from what I've been able to see. My favourite is Thane, who's this, looks like this total bad boy wolf, who, like, when you first see him, he's like walking through the snow and he's been all smashed up, and then he's like, oh no, keep going. What can you tell us about the four characters, like, in a little bit more detail?
We spent a lot of time coming up with heroes within the world. So each of these heroes are basically champions of their clan that have come forward and are there to, I guess, fight the good fight and represent their clan and claim the throne for their clan. It's funny, when we prototyped the game on paper for 8 months, and it wasn't until we created these characters, and they weren't these particular characters, but just heroes in general, like you playing as a specific hero, that the game really became... It wasn't until we did that until when the game really became magical, you know? We played with like armies moving across the board and stuff like that.
There was a lot of different ways that we wanted to approach this, but we knew that we wanted heroes or something that represents you, and we didn't just want to, you know, just a little nameless thing.
It's quite unique, isn't it, to have a board game done in this way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if, you know, board players, so you've got role playing in it, and usually you go along to a lot of game conventions, and there they are, these big board games, tabletop games, playing with these unique little, wonderful little miniatures and little characters. So translating that, you know.
That was something, that was one of our major, that's basically the major reason how we got into Armello, and went, because we formed League of Geeks first, and then we decided to get into Armello, create a board game.
Excellent. Hey, we've got more of Sci-Fi and Squeam coming up right after this.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9, and getting our game on. It's probably the long extended play of Dillstick.
Yeah, which I have no beef about whatsoever.
Yeah, you've got no problem with that.
Talking about video games is pretty boss.
And we have in the studio with us Trent and Jack and Laura, a bit on the silent side there, but that's all right, I hope. And, of course, League of Geeks talking about Armello, this wonderful game that's, it's a board top game translated as a video game with some very fascinating characters, and detail is amazing. And of course, for people who aren't aware, it's about animals, basically. You use animals as characters for this game instead of human forms. What was the inspiration for that, guys?
Well, first of all, it came from Blake, one of League of Geeks directors and also one of the core designers on Armello. He was absolutely in love with a series of books called Redwall.
I've got those at home too.
When I was looking at the trailer from this today, I was thinking this is like, Redwall crosses Skyrim. And then
say it's Redwall meets Game of Thrones style thing, yeah.
Oh, with the intro? Yeah.
So, that's cool. And he always wanted to, he was just always enraptured by those books. I'd never read them, actually. But he wanted to create it, and he'd been talking for years, because we'd worked together beforehand, and he'd been talking for years about making this game where you play as a rat rogue and you're off, and it was going to be this epic RPG, and you're off, or as a little mouse, and you're off to save the kingdom and everything. Yeah. And it was awesome, and we always wanted to explore it. And then as soon as we knew we were going to do a board game, he's like, well, what if we do, you know, let's do something with this, you know, these animal stuff. And because I knew it was going to be a board game, I handle a lot of the writing and narrative design on the project. And as a board game, you don't get many tools at your disposal to really get a strong story across, you know, or really explain who a character is and why they're like that. But when it comes to animals, there are so many connotations loaded into it. Like if you have a weasel character, you kind of know what kind of character that guy's going to be. Yeah. Or, you know, if you have this rat chick, you know what she's going to probably be like. And so there
she's going to like a lot of cheese.
Yeah, there you go, right?
Very cheesy.
Just instantly, like, the because of, like, hundreds of years of fables involving animals and myths and tropes, we can really lean upon that. So there are a number of reasons that we got into it. They're just awesome as well, you know. It's something different and cool, and yeah.
The fact that the game, the map's randomized at the beginning of each level, and also the way to play it, it's going to change and different actions have effects on the outcome when you're going up to battle the king. Was there much of a plan in process when you're developing the game that to have that outcome of it's hard to play the same game twice?
Very much so. When we set out to create Armello, we knew that if we were making a board game, you had to be able to play it time and time again. And for it to not just be like, oh, well, we've played it 20 times and now it's boring. It's like every game that you play of Armello has to be different and fun in a unique way.
The cards, the board changes, the cards. I mean, there's over 100 cards. Mm-hmm. So you will never get all 100 in any game.
Yeah.
So there was always surprises.
And the flicking from day to night, because daytime and the nighttime scheme, from what I've seen, it's changes the landscape altogether. Like the banes, they'll come out at night.
Yeah. And the King's Guard patrol during the day. It changes the results of the dice that you roll. And so the day-night cycle totally plays into gameplay and everything as well.
Yeah, some heroes have special powers during the day and others during the night.
So we had very much so. Yeah. yeah, like clans have certain bonuses. Yeah. And we very much set out from the start. We had particular pillars and things that we wanted to achieve. And one of them was, well, if we're going to create a digital board game, let's lean on every sort of strength of the platform that we can. So the day-night cycle came from that. It's like, well, we can do a day-night cycle that just looks absolutely stunning. And it can lead into gameplay and people don't have to, you know, flip a card from, you know, because when we were playing it on paper, it was like a card, one side had a moon on it, one side had a sun. We're like, okay, change the time of day.
It's very effective, though. That works really well.
and this music we've got in the background there, listening away there, I am anyway. Again, it's got a bit of Lisa Gerrard's involvement there for Armello. And this apparently is one of the night.
Yeah, one of the night.
So even the music.
Even the music, the entire tone, infected. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Michael was great like that.
He was so good.
Yeah, we just said, look, we need something for the day. So he knew. Michael Lennon is the main composer and mm-hmm. Lisa's sort of collaborating with him. Yeah, he's amazing. He's just
super talented.
Super talented. He's amazing. We love Michael. So he's really the.
He gets it. Like, it's funny. We can just, like, I'll go, because Jacek's, you know, working with him as the audio director and stuff, and I'll go and I'll just talk about what, like, I feel like I want from the music or what I feel we need, and I feel like I haven't said anything that makes any sense. It's sort of just like these random words that sort of I'm trying to articulate this ethereal thing or what I'm looking for, and Michael's just like, yep, okay. And then Jacek will be like, blah, 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 and have a little chat to him, and then he comes back and it's like, pretty much 99% of the time, it's right on my head.
On like two films and lots of games now, and we just understand each other. It's great.
Yeah,
really.
Cool. Now, just speaking as we talked off air, actually, and with Laura as well, about as far as some of the characters in the game, and because of the station, we're LGBTIQ, of course, and we support transgender people and transgender geeks as well. Is there any opportunities there to have a transgender character in this game at some stage?
Yeah, definitely. That was something that we actually discussed very recently. So we've got a clan that's exclusive to backers in the game or on our Armello Kickstarter, where when we're coming up with the new characters for that, the idea was brought up, you know, well, why don't we have a trans character? We've made a very concerted effort to have equal representation of male and female characters within the game and ensure that our female characters aren't hyper-sexualized just to telegraph to whoever's looking at the game that, hey, this is the girl because she has a pink bow in her hair and, you know, or she's wearing the pink dress. It wasn't about that. In fact, we often have people refer to Sana, who's one of our female Bear Clan characters, as, you know, as a male, because we didn't spend that time, you know, when they just look at a drawing of her, because we didn't spend that time, you know, to over-sexualizing her. She's a very strong female character, and so she kind of, she's, you know, she's a bear, right? So she's quite androgynous.
Yeah.
And so from, you know, this sort of came about. It's like, well, we're working with animals. They are androgynous in nature and appearance a lot of the time. And we're doing so much to represent, you know, this other subset of our community, like the female gamer that is often, well, misrepresented and not even represented. We've gone a long way to give them equal representation, and then we've got a lot of positive feedback from that too. Well, you know, why don't we take it another step further? Why don't we do things like we have trans friends, you know, and trans friends that work in games and that play games and work on the fringes of game spaces, and we know that they would love characters, you know, that they can identify with as well. And so it's something that we're definitely investigating for the future, and we'd love to, you know, find a way to get a trans character.
Well, you've been put on the spot now.
Yeah, I know. That's it. It's something we definitely want to do.
Before, so this is a spot we've been to already. So.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Now, Laura, anything to add to that?
You know, as we've spoken about before, and as I think we spoke last time I was on the show about, like, you know, the idea of diversity in games as opposed to just, like, looking at the whole, like, you know, male-female binary, you know, we need to, like, you know, now start looking at, you know, people who are, you know, not necessarily just the whole cisgender thing, but people who are, you know, female-identifying and male-identifying as well. And, you know, looking at, like, you know, the notion of minorities all being represented in games as well, that, you know, that doesn't necessarily just extend to, like, you know, women in games, which is a very, very important, like, you know, part of games.
And women
are no longer, like, the minority in games either. They just, like, you know, there's some issues there. But looking at diversity in games, and particularly, like, you know, diversity within the female community in games. So that means, like, you know, looking at people who are female identifying and that sort of thing, you know, and it's really, really important. And it's become something, actually, which has become quite an issue in games lately. I think we're starting to beautifully, wonderfully, people who are non-cisgender, we're starting to talk about lot more and are being like much more represented within the games community. And of course, like, you know, as you know, I'm not part of League of Geeks, I'm kind of on the fringes, but as we've been talking about a lot, it has the potential to be a beautiful platform to explore
totally
a lot
does.
Of these issues.
Well,
it really does.
You're definitely part of League of Geeks. You're definitely part of League of Geeks. No doubt.
What you touched on there is something super important, is that Armello is a game that we've been lucky that has has quite a high profile within the independent game scene, and we get a lot of praise for it. And because this is some diversity in games is something that's super important to us, the ability to use that opportunity that we have as a platform to better represent characters in games that reflect, you know, people out there that aren't being represented is an opportunity that's almost, you know, too good to pass up. And, you know, why would we not do that? It's our game will be stronger for it. We're also helping progress the medium as well, help represent people on, you know, that unfortunately are on the fringes of these cultures sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. It has the potential to be a really beautiful space for exploration of these things, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely, for a number of reasons.
This is certainly going to be growing and ongoing, I would say. Look, it's taking you this long to get it here from 2011. It's a lengthy development. Is that the norm for such a game?
No. It is if you do it off, you know, on off hours. If you don't, don't do it, you know, full time, and pretty much no one is doing anything.
No one on arm. That's why we're doing Kickstarter, because of us, and then it's only like three of us, you know, can go full time.
Yes, I think like some meetings that we have, we want to talk about our next game now. Like we've talked about Armello for 3 years almost.
Yeah, so that's it.
Like,
yeah,
what's the next
now?
Game?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I'd just like to know about the evolution of using Kickstarter in games. Like, you know, we've heard of this happening, say, with Amanda Palmer in the music scene, where she asked her fans to donate and, you know, raise a large amount of cash. Is that something that's a growing trend within the video gaming development to go to gamers and say, hey, can you donate?
Yeah, it's most definitely a platform now for video game funding.
It's not really donation, so that's the whole thing. Is that you're not actually donating, you're actually pre-purchasing.
Pledging. Oh, okay.
Pledging, yeah. So
it's sort of become that. And in fact, if you said that around Kickstarter, they would be like, tugging the collar. Don't say that. But it's because they want it. You know, it is donations, and you're getting rewards for your donation. Yeah. But obviously, what that turns into over time is people pre-purchasing a copy of a game.
Wow. Okay. Look, excellent. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam with League of Geeks, Armello, Laura Crawford, Dill Stick, and myself, the Squeamer, here on Joy 94.9. Jerry. Sorry, his name's not Jerry tonight. Oh, made a mistake. He's the Horned Reaper from Dungeon Keeper 1997, circa 1997. Of course he is. He wanted to be Mario, and I said, oh, don't be boring. Everybody's Mario, aren't they?
Beautiful Princess Sonia, it's me, Mario. Woohoo! You're number one. Woohoo! Woohoo! Hello to all of my friends on a Sci-Fi and Squeam! On Joy 94.9, number one. Woohoo!
Yeah, well, why can't people say Luigi for once? Like, poor Luigi,
exactly.
He gets nothing. His brother, like, goes off and gets involved with this girl whose living arrangements aren't great, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, Luigi gets nothing. Like, nothing at the end of it, except for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, it was the year of Luigi last year.
Oh, really?
It was the year of Luigi, yep.
Oh. And nobody knew.
Case in point.
Luigi didn't know either.
Poor guy. Oh, well. Look, so yes, what's he called again? The Horned Reaper is on the phone waiting for your call. 1300 Joy 949. He won't bite, we promise.
I'm Ethan Peck. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. That was Tin Cup with Lucy. Why did I play that? Well, not just because Dylan Dilstick likes that song, he really likes Tin Cup, but also it reminds me of Scarlett Johansson and the new film that's coming out in August called Lucy. It's a Luc Besson movie. It's the most expensive French film that's been made so far. Lots of euros, francs, or whatever they use now.
You had me at Scarlett Johansson.
And she's doing really well in the sci-fi slash fantasy realm with Under the Skin coming up next week.
Sci-fi and pop culture and all things artistic. We just got a message in from Art Boy Gallery.
Oh, yay. Hello, Mark.
On 0427 Joy 949. Good evening to the Squeam team. Lots of love, Art Boy Gallery. Oh, lots of love back.
Yes, and that's perfect. Absolutely perfect, because we were there on the weekend on Sunday, just gone, for Queer Geeks of Oz. And just to remind everyone that Queer Geeks of Oz will be alive and kicking at Oz Comic Con coming up July 5th and 6th that weekend. Not far away now, actually. It may seem a long way away to some of you listeners, but it's getting closer and closer. And what is Queer Geeks of Oz? Well, basically it's us and a few other queer geeks getting together. We're going to be doing a panel talking about games, being a gamer. That's G-A-Y-M-E-R, in case you didn't know. And also things like comics representation, what else? Even horror, all those sorts of
pretty much
topics.
If it's one of those things that gets your geek vibe going, then we're going to be there to talk about it. Yeah. And you can raise all kinds of questions and you get to, you know, also meet the Sci-Fi and Squeam team.
Yeah, and so that's going to be a lot of fun. We had the photo shoot and the video over the weekend at Art Boy Gallery because they're a good supporter of
and it was Wiggy. Awesome because Sonia had this great idea for us without giving away too much info.
Don't give it too
much. Well,
no, that's cool.
There was some makeup and special effects makeup that I didn't quite wash all off.
I noticed that. I was going to say that to you today, but, you know.
It was... Well, I just got a lot of people looking at me at the train station, just like...
Are you okay, dude?
It was pretty fun.
Yeah, mugshots is the word.
Mugshots.
Criminals for our geekiness, so...
Hint.
We'll release some of those photos later on. I'll be busy tonight, no doubt, after the show. So, yeah, Queer Geeks of Oz is coming. It will be the second LGBTIQ panel at a major convention for pop culture. So we hope to see you all there, and we'll keep you posted on our Facebook page and our podcasts on joy.org.au. So you can head there. Just put in the search engine when you get to joy.org.au for the podcast space, Sci-Fi and Squeam. And then once you get to the Sci-Fi and Squeam one, figure it out. Just put in Queer Geeks of Oz and up will come numerous previous podcasts and interviews about that panel. Excellent. All right. That's enough of that, I think.
We're still joined in the studios by our awesome, awesome guests. And we're talking about Armello, which is this fantastic video game, well, tabletop card game that's been turned into a video game. Now, right now, it's still going through the Kickstarter campaigns. Oh, Trent, you're making me yawn there, brother. They are so contagious. They are so contagious. Well, how many days do people still have so they can pledge to the campaign?
Well, as of 2 a.m. tonight, it's going to be 8 days left. So, yeah.
Eight days. Oh, Dill's looking really... If you could see it now, people...
I'm getting getting teary-eyed at the most.
He's getting dizzy.
I know.
Now, where can people go? Because this is a pretty awesome thing.
Yeah, for the Kickstarter. So, if you go to bit.ly, so that's bit.ly/ArmelloKS. So, bit.ly/ArmelloKS.
And right now you're about 80% away from...
80%, no, 80% of the way funded. So we've got 20% left to go in 8 days, which is,
Come on, all you geeks out there. If you've got a bit of cash to splash, then definitely
donate. And this is a community. This is a collective. This doesn't happen. These people are doing it because they're mad. And
they love this.
You're very passionate, I've got to admit, you know, and that is crazy, but good on you.
Yeah,
good on you.
That's why I'm making you yawn, because I was up until 5 a.m. waiting for an article to drop so I could post it to the Kickstarter community. So, yeah, we...
Is that your role? You look after that whole promotion side?
Well, actually, one of the directors, Ty, has been looking after a lot of... He's really been fantastic. While I've been sort of off, in New York and Boston at PAX East recently and stuff, sort of meeting the press and partners and everything. Yeah, just hanging out, doing my thing. Yeah, Ty has been, you know, making gifts and, you know, like posts and everything tirelessly to keep the community sort of engaged and interested and keep them informed of what's happening in the world of Armello.
that's the thing, I think. It's like anything. Today with online communities, it's capturing the geek, capturing those wriggly little so-and-sos and making them, you know, realise that these things just don't happen overnight. Not for this game, anyway.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to articulate. And I think as well, you know, it's a great thing that the indie community is doing, and especially with things like having access to early access to games now with, you know, playing alphas or betas and even the Kickstarter thing making development more transparent. It does make it easier for us to say, like, hey, this is kind of crazy. We've been working on this project out of hours for 3 years for no pay, all on the promise of, like, it might, you know, it might do well, and just because we believe in it. That's, people sort of get that more now than they would have before. Like,
well, I think it's awesome as well, like, being in Australia and using, because after, say, like, Rockstar fell in Queensland a few, it's more than a few years ago now, but it looked pretty shady for the Australian video gaming landscape, and it's awesome that there's still indie developers out there like yourselves that are pushing these through and pushing new projects through.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's definitely things like, you know, there's a large indie community. We've got things like the Free Play Independent Games Festival that happens a lot. Well, it happens every year, and we've got communities. So when these studios broke down, a lot of them became independent game developers, and it was just really cool to see that switch. And so now Melbourne has one of the biggest independent game scenes around.
It's huge. The gaming, you know, indie scene. It's phenomenal here.
We've got a lot of talented developers, and there's some great games coming out of Melbourne, like Antichamber by Alexander Bruce just came out, and, you know, which was an IGF award-winning game and super successful, one of the most successful Australian independent games to come out in years. Guys at Love Shack are making a wonderful game called Framed, absolutely awesome. They're getting nominated and winning awards all over the place, and Commobius just dropped Duet. Like, there's some really great games coming out of Melbourne at the moment.
We're nearly out of time for tonight, but I just have a quick question, mm-hmm. because obviously if every success has been met and measured with our mellow, mm-hmm. What would be the next project on the cards?
We don't know, we've spoken about it a lot. Like, I just know that we want to do, we have no idea what it would be.
There's about five ideas.
That's why I don't know, because there's too many ideas.
Yeah, there's five ideas, and like,
it's just picking them. And it also depends on, like, where we're at, what sort of project we feel like doing, where the zeitgeist is at in regards to what people are looking for. And also not a studio that's just, like, totally, like, oh, we don't give a heck about money. It's just about whatever art we want to make. Like, obviously, we're super passionate about the games that we make, and we want to make fantastic experiences, but we're also come from a studio background. We knew from the start that we're very commercially sensible, sort of sensible folk as well. And so, you know, we know that we've got to provide ourselves with a living to do this stuff. So
excellent. Look, this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy and 94.9. Very nice.
I would love to see Jerry just, like, dress up as a Bane one day. Just like,
do that again.
That was one and done.
Very good. One and done.
We'll take that sample, thanks. Yeah.
I'll send it to you later. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Wrapping it up shortly. Now, we did have a message which was very kind. Thank you so much for messaging us. And hey, Scream team, Muhammad here. He's curious about whether we know anything about the next Star Wars film. There's so much rumour and gossip and all sorts of things going on there. What we do know, or what DeadlineHollywood.com can tell me right now, is the rumour mill is going wild because the cast revelation is getting close. I believe J.J. Abrams has perhaps decided that he's keen on, I should say, the actor from Inside, Llewyn Davis. Yes, sorry. Oscar Isaac. Now, he was in the Zack Snyder movie we don't talk about. He was in that one.
Adam Driver as well is the guy from Girls. I think he's being cast as something.
But I guess we'll still be seeing the Illumini, the great ones, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill. Apparently that's still on the cards. But yeah, do you guys, any of the League of Geeks, you know, come on, any of you know what might be going on?
I'm the type of Star Wars fan that I will cover my eyes and, you know, close my ears as soon as any trailer comes on or anything. Like,
yeah, Trent hates that sort of stuff. Yeah. I'm waiting until, like, give it, hook it to my veins,
every bit of info. Yeah, no, I'm waiting until it comes out.
But, you know, sure. I actually think that they don't know themselves. I think there's a lot of still up in the air.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's a big task, right?
It's a big task. It's something not everybody is born to do, but to take that ring into Mordor, it's not going to be easy.
I did see something saying how they're going to be changing a lot of the extended universe. So
I heard that canon is out the window.
Yeah, it is totally out the window.
Oh, that's just so upsetting. That's just wrong. And I mean that. The Force is not strong with those people anymore. Because next week, May the 6th be with you. A celebration of May the 4th be with you, which is on the Sunday. But because we're on a Tuesday, it'll have to be May the 6th be with you, if that makes sense.
It does. It totally flies.
I like it because it's sort of like, it's the opposite. It's like, may the Sith be with you almost.
Ooh.
Like,
yeah.
He is evil. Yeah. You can come back again, Trent. Yeah. All right, look, big thanks to the guys here, League of Geeks, and thanks for coming in, Jack.
You're welcome.
Trent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Laura, of course.
Pleasure.
You round them up. You did well.
Thank you very much.
Did very well. And
Laura.
I'll be back on Saturday with Counterculture, where you can hear some fresh new beats.
Look at you. You're just
shameless plug.
And be careful out there. Watch out for the Horned Reaper.
Watch out for Dylan. I'm hungry. Like, I will push people out of my way to get to food.
All right. Thanks for listening to Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Isabel Carmody with Sonia, Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.